Morgan Miller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with, the sergeant at arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Rabbi Sim Glazer from the Temple Israel in Minneapolis.
Good afternoon. I was asked not to have you hug each other, so I will not do that. Thank you. Dear God, we come here today to make critical decisions for the welfare of our constituency, for our people. Bless us with the ability and the intention to employ a mature vision and to use our experiences with which life has blessed us. Let us search ourselves for the mandate of the soul, that we may wrestle with the challenges of a difficult economy and an ever more complex environment. And most importantly, may we always be attentive to the needs of those less fortunate who have placed their trust in us. May we hearken to the still small voice of conscience that lies in a pure form inside each and every one of us, a voice that stands outside of party affiliation and self-interest, that this voice might be the very strongest lobbyist for our efforts. May our activities and our decisions reflect the will of your universe, which desires only goodness for its inhabitants. As we bear responsibility for our great state, let us be fitting partners in your holy work. May we be blessed with strength of divine purpose. And let us say, Amen.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Keelash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Lori, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Pogemiller, Pretner, Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, and Wieger.
Quorum is present. First order of business, executive and official communications. Yeah, I just said that, yeah. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate files herewith returned. Senate file numbers 122, 1489, 1754, 275, 615, and this one is not on your agenda, 1611, a bill for an act relating to insurance authorizing the nonprofit insurance trust to self-insure against certain liabilities. These are all signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House. This message is on your agenda, Senator Phoebe. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file 1467, a bill for an act relating to traffic regulations, amending provisions related to speed limits. Senate file 1467 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Phoebe.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate file number 1467 and that the bill be passed on its repassage as amended.
Okay, Senator Phoebe, give the body a brief description of the bill and what's changed since it left here.
Very briefly, this is has to do with rural residential speed limits in areas of excessive growth, and the only change is one word inserted on line one prior to the word street. We're inserting city, so a city street, Mr. President.
Any further discussion on the Senator Phoebe renews her motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House. The Senate file 1467, and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Third reading. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate file 1467, a bill for an act relating to traffic regulations, amending provisions related to speed limits, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. She should. Senator Phoebe and others, if it's your bill, I recommend, well, not recommend, I'd say to stay at your seat. Murphy, the one carrying it? House senators, having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. It'll be at 53 ayes and 0 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to.
The next message is not on your agenda. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on Senate File 166 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. Senate File 166, a bill for an act relating to insurance, regulating life insurance. Senate File 166 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Remaining under messages.
The next message is on House File 1301, Senator Moi. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on House File 1301 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File 1301, a bill for an act relating to public safety, providing for public safety, courts, and corrections. Senate House File 1301 is herewith transmitted to the Senate. Signed, Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
All right, okay, we're talking about a conference committee report here. Senator Moi is going to tell us about it, and we should pay attention. Where's Senator? Senator Moi.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File number 1301 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Okay, Senator, a description of what the conference committee did and what the bill's about.
Mr. President and members, we went into conference and with the language from Senate File 993. I want to first acknowledge and thank Senators Olson, Senator Higgins, Senator Ortman, and Senator Betzel for helping to do the work on this conference committee bill. We went in with a very good bill. We came back with almost all the provisions except one, which is the Senator Higgins provision, which the House had some concerns about. And on that, Senator Higgins has agreed that we'll live to work on that for another day. We did come back with a number of provisions. The House had a substantially larger bill than we did. So we did come back with a number.
Please, listen up. Senator Moore.
We did come back with a number of provisions that were not in our bill, but members, the conference committee members felt that these provisions were acceptable for us to bring back because after a great amount of consideration, many of these bills were very important to Senate members. So these bills that we brought, the language that are beyond our bill that we brought back actually are language that has Senate companions that were trying to do good, but not necessarily substantive policy changes. And we just had way too much work, and we didn't have a chance to give them all a hearing, but we felt that Senate members would be happy if we brought these changes back. So let me just go very quickly over a couple of them. We brought back a provision on social networking websites. We also brought back a provision on notification to add housing with services to list of facilities that require notice of a predatory offender. We brought back some language to provide training materials about sex offender notifications. We also brought back some language for orders of protection, which we had some testimony to say that it really was more technical and oversight with the bill that we passed last year. We brought back some language about disproportionate minority contact in the criminal justice and juvenile justice system. We brought back some language having to do with correctional facility mergers, asking that correctional officers who are subject to a merger of local correctional facilities are entitled to their accumulated vacation and sick time. We brought back some language on evidence-based probation practices, which is even though this is one of the only provision that didn't have a Senate companion, it was policy language that was good policy, and we felt that the Senate would not have an objection to this. We brought back language in Article 5, specialized emergency response teams. I believe this is what was a Senator Engelbritzen bill, and we felt that it was important to the Senate. We brought back language and the requirements for the Board of Pharmacy. And then there was some language that is in several bills having to do with GPS devices, which is a Senator Tomasoni bill. And I believe the last item there's some language about prohibition on sale of recalled toys. And then finally, there was some language, a merger of police agencies. And then we created from the language that we had in the bill having to do with DWI offenders in the House. We felt that we substantively needed to, in the Senate, to do some work on that. From a policy perspective, the House asked us to do a working group on it to give it some priority, and we agreed to that. So that's the conference committee report.
Any discussion on the conference committee report, Senator Rosen?
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the author yield, please? Senator
She will yield. Senator Rosen.
Thank you. Senator Moore, I do have a question on the driver's license reinstatement diversion pilot project. And the part about while they're participating in the diversion program, if the participant does not satisfy the conditions of the diversion or is found a moving violation or failure to insure, but my question is more on basically does not satisfy the conditions of the diversion. What exactly does that mean? If you could please explain that.
Senator Moore.
I believe that in the bill we have some provisions and some requirements. In the bill, we have some language about the requirements that needs to be satisfied. And so Senator Prettner-Solin could be more specific with her response.
Senator Prettner-Solin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Rosen, as an example, if somebody who has been picked up for DWI has been required to perhaps sent to chemical dependency treatment. They've completed their treatment, but as a condition of their being in the diversion program, they need to remain sober. If they drink, then they have to go back and fulfill the conditions, and they lose their license.
Okay, any further questions? Seeing none, Senator Moore renews her motion that the foregoing recommendations of Conference Committee report on House File 1301 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading. Yep, before the third reading, Senator Vandeveer.
Mr. President, will Senator Moore yield for a question?
Senator will yield. Senator Vandeveer.
I'm not sure I understand the civil liabilities on the private employers. Can you explain how that works, the admissibility of an employee's former employee's criminal history record is limited somehow? Could you just explain that, please?
Senator Moore.
Mr. President, Senator Vandeveer, the provision was language that was crafted along with the business community. There's a desire among some of our business communities to be able to look at individuals for hire and to have the opportunity to do that with consideration too, but not feel like they absolutely had to not offer somebody a job just because they have some kind of a criminal record. This provision does not apply to any jobs where statutorily we have a requirement or in any kind of instances where we have a requirement for people to do a statutory background check. So outside of the occupations where we require for a statutory background check, this is a provision to give some support to private employers who might want to hire somebody where they're not mandated to do a background check, but who might want to hire somebody where they might want to do some due diligence. And despite that due diligence, they might decide that whatever criminal records they have does not affect the underlying performance of the job in any way and offer that individual a job. It allows the private employers to be able to do that, and what this does is that it gives them some protection from liability, gives them some protection from exposure.
Okay. Secretary, further discussion? Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And would the author yield for a question?
She will yield, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Moore, under Article 3, Courts and Public Defender, could you explain Section Number 1, Line 1412, where it starts, Policy on Disproportionate Minority Contact? I'm reading that into new law here. Can you tell me what precipitated this? Give me a little background on that and how that came about, and basically what has been broken that we're trying to fix here.
Senator Moore.
Mr. President, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I don't think it's an issue that something necessarily is broken, but this is a bill that I carried here in the Senate, and it was not in our bill going forward, but the House came to the Conference Committee with this provision. Representative Mullery felt very strongly about this provision. It has to do with some concerns that were raised from a coalition of organizations who work with children, who felt that in our juvenile justice and correctional system, increasingly we have seen it as a fact that there is a disproportionate representation of certain populations who are experiencing our correctional system, who are going through our judicial system, and our criminal justice system. And what this group of organizations are trying to do here is to create an opportunity for the question to be asked in the policies that we enact and the debates that we engage in, to say, in the policies that we create, are we creating an unintended consequence that could result in a disproportionate number of individuals from a particular community being overly represented? So it is not necessarily a mandate, but it puts into place what I believe to be good policy framework to help guide the discussions that we have. The House did feel that this was important for the work that we do, and so we accepted it as one of the provisions.
Further discussion? Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 1301, a bill for an act relating to public safety, providing for public safety, courts, and corrections, including predatory offenders regarding computer access, etc.
Secretary will take the roll on final passage. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 62 ayes, 0 nays. Jen Olson votes aye. There'll be 63 ayes and 0 nays. The bill is passed. Its title agreed to. The next... report will be from Senator Sharon. Senator?
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on House File 936 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File 936, a bill for an act relating to human services, specifying criteria for communities for a lifetime. House File 936 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Okay, we're going to be dealing... with another conference committee report, we're going to be voting on it, and I would suggest you listen to the authors on these, okay? Did you hear me? Senator Sharon.
Thank you very much. I'm moving that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 936 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Okay, Senator Sharon, a description of the bill and what's changed in the committee.
This is the bill, Communities of a Lifetime, that creates a designation for communities if they meet certain criteria and planning standards in preparing their communities for the future aging of our population. The conference committee met, and the only change that is in this bill from the bill that you approved here on the floor of the Senate is Subdivision 10, in which there is some context language similar to what you might see in a city council whereas kinds of language that describes sort of the context out of which the bill is being developed. That language was removed, and other than that, everything in this bill remains the same, and I'm hoping that you'll support it.
Any further discussion on this conference committee report? Seeing none, Senator Sharon renews her motion that the foregoing recommendations of the conference committee report on House File 936 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 936, a bill for an act relating to human services, specifying criteria for communities for a lifetime, etc.
Proponent of government largesse.
Secretary will take the roll on final passage of House File 936.
I knew what I know now about it. You're against the old people. Yeah, we're independent.
All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. Be it 61 ayes, one nay. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. There's a conference committee report to be read at the desk.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on House File 819 and repass said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File 819, a bill for an act relating to commerce prohibiting certain unfair internet ticket sales by original sellers and resellers. House File 819 is herewith transmitted to the Senate. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Okay, members. Members, we have another conference committee report. Pay attention. This is Senator Latz.
Mr. President, members, this is the Bruce Springsteen bill coming back now with the conference committee report. The bill requires that the initial ticket seller that makes the tickets available for public sale do so in accordance with the agreement that was made with the artist or the artist's agent. Or the arena that is making those tickets available for sale in the first place. It also prohibits with intent to defraud the sale of tickets that do not really exist. Fraudulent tickets, dummy tickets, fake tickets, those kind of things. It makes that a misdemeanor crime to violate the provisions here. What you have before you now is the Senate bill in its entirety. The House, in its wisdom, accepted all of the Senate provisions without any changes. In part, that is because after the House passed their bill, a number of other parties came forward with concerns, and so we negotiated the final bill as it made its final way through the Senate process. So this is a good bill, and I urge your support. Thank you. I guess I should make the formal motion as well.
Yes, that's correct.
I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 819 be now adopted, and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
All right, on that motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. I think Senator Latz has already described the bill and the differences. So, Senator Limmer.
Mr. President.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. President, I would hope that the body could be a little more respectful of the process. We need to be able to hear the debate. I know you've done your best interest, but there are still people talking even while we're having this discussion.
Okay, we have bipartisan support to keep the talking down here. And okay, we're on the Latz motion and third reading.
House File 819, a bill for an act relating to commerce prohibiting certain unfair internet ticket sales by original sellers and resellers.
Secretary will take the roll on the final passage of House File 819. Bring it back today, though, would you?
Saw that.
I did.
The assault.
That was a
heavy
beat.
Yeah. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. Be it 62 ayes, one nay. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. We're on messages.
These are on your agenda. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House file numbers 534, 1960, 1677, and 519. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Okay, now we're on to The next order of business is first reading of House bills. They're printed on today's agenda. Without objection, these bills will be referred to the committees as indicated. Next order of business is reports. Reports of committees. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next order of business, second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. Next order of business, second reading of House bills. There's two printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of House bills. The next order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There are three printed on today's Senate bill introductions. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Next order of business, motions and resolutions. There's one resolution. Without objection, the resolution will be sent to the Rules Committee. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, on motions, I move the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman, members, there are three bills, number 16, House File 1056, Senator Scheid, number 99, Senate File 1036, Senator Metzen, and number 95, Senate File 1481, Senator Cohen, that I'd like to designate today and yield to Senator Scheid.
Before that, Chair appoints President Pro Tem Senator Frederickson to chair the Committee of the Whole.
Committee has before it number 16 on general orders, House File 1056, Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the amendment made to House File 1056 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted May 4, 2009, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken.
Didn't you make that? Senator Scheid, I think you need to make another motion before that.
I'm sorry, I forgot to move that when this committee do arise, House File 1056 be recommended to pass. I'm sorry. That'll be my first motion. And then do I want me to make that other motion over again?
Senator Scheid, yes.
So.
Would you remake the motion, Senator Scheid?
Mr. Chairman, on the Rule 45, striking the Rule 45. Now,
yes.
I'm sorry. I move that the amendment made to House File 1056 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted May 4th, 2009, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken.
And Senator Scheid, would you, on that motion, would you explain why you want to make that motion, what the differences are?
Mr. Chairman, yes. The Senate file was one paragraph requiring prompt payment to subcontractors and extending that to residential contractors and subcontractors. The original language did not. There's also language in statute having to do with progress payments, which requires contractors to make periodic payments to subcontractors. The House extended that also the progress payments to single family or residential property or construction, and I want to do that. It is something that was worked out with the subcontractors and the residential building contractors.
Is there discussion on Senator Scheid's motion? Hearing no discussion, Senator Scheid has moved that the amendment made to House File 1056 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted May 4th, 2009, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. The motion prevails. And Senator Scheid, do you have further explanation?
Then, Mr. Chairman, it's fairly simple. What this does is extend our state's prompt payment to residential subcontractors, and particularly in times like this when credit is tough and the construction industry is in distress, that this will encourage best business practices by requiring payment to subcontractors. And it actually protects homeowners then, people who are buying the home, because we all know if the subcontractors and the people who supply materials don't get their timely payment, then the consumer is exposed to liens and foreclosure actions. So we don't want that to happen. I think this is really a good bill right now, and I encourage your support.
Is there a discussion on House File 1056? There being no discussion, Senator Scheid renews her motion that when this committee do arise, House File 1056 be recommended to pass. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the bill is recommended to pass. The committee has before it now number 99 on general orders, Senate File 1036. The chair recognizes Senator Metzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committees. This is, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1036 be recommended to pass.
Senator Metzen, on your motion.
This is a bill that's, it's a state labor contracts ratification bill. This has gone through Senator Rest's committee, Senator Betzel's committee, Senator Cohn's committee, and it's here today. This picks up about three or four contracts that were settled late. Actually, we did most of the labor ratification bills, I'd say 97-98% of them, last year, but this one picks up the executive branch compensation plan, and these were, like I said, most of them were ratified a year and a half ago. And one of the Subdivision 1 ratifies the contract between with the State University Administrative and Service Faculty. Subdivision 2 and 3 takes care of the doctors and specialized services working in state facilities in greater Minnesota. Subdivision 4 and 5 and 6 ratify salary increases proposed by the State Pension Fund Board of Directors. Subdivision 7 also deals with the State Board of Investments. The nurses are also in on this. It's the same percentage. These are all about 3% rate increases. But remember, that's not this year's rate increases. This is from last year. So that was pretty much across the board with all of the contractual agreements last year was all around 3.25%. So that's what these are at. I might add that the State Board of Investment increases are, I guess I have to use the word, substantially higher. And of course, this these salaries are paid out of the pension fund area and not state general fund money. The reason here is that we're falling way, way behind on these very qualified people on the State Board of Investments. What we do is we end up training these people, getting them pretty trained at our expense, and then after a year, sometimes as quick as a year, they'll move on, and sometimes it might be 2 or 3 years, but we're training these people to go out in private practice where they can make substantially more money than they make for the state. So it's a little blip on your... It's not that like the other ones, so that's the reason why. And of course, I've talked to, as late as about 2 weeks ago, I talked to Commissioner Hansen with the governor's office, and I said, Commissioner, there's been a little talk about that State of Board of Investments. The increase is higher than the other ones. Does the governor still support the raises in that area? And they said, absolutely yes. So it is supported. And I might mention before I close that, you know, I didn't arbitrate these awards. They were done by the governor's cabinet. So I would urge your support for this bill.
Is there discussion on Senate File 1036? Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And many of these contracts are retroactive. They do go back, and they were negotiated during a time when the state had more funds and a better economic outlook was in place. But I have to remind members that this is some of these are pretty healthy increases, and I'm not going to argue with them today, because they were done at a time when things were better. And the only one in here that does have a zero increase is for the Minnesota college faculty, and that is the newest contract we're reviewing today, and they're dealing with today's realities. But I just want to remind all of these groups that saw 9, 10, 12, even a 36% increase in the biennial contract, that we aren't going to be able to do that anymore. And so, you know, these were pretty significant increases, healthy, good, even some of them being done during a time when the private sector was really slowing down already. But they were mostly approved by the employee groups and the mediators and the negotiators in 2008. But when looking ahead to the next set of contracts, I think we have to recall that these were nice increases and that we can't expect that in the future. And I just want to remind members that, you know, things are different now, not just for members, but for all of our workers out there, too.
Is there further discussion? There being no further discussion, Senator Metzen renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1036 be recommended to pass. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails and the bill is recommended to pass. The committee has before it now number 95 on general orders, Senate File 1481. The chair recognizes Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, I move this committee to arise that Senate File 1481 be recommended to pass.
Senator Cohen, on your motion.
Okay, Mr. Chairman and members, this bill implements the recommendations from the Budget Trends Commission. Members might recall 2 years ago that Representative Lencheski and I had authored legislation establishing the Budget Trends Commission. It was a commission comprised of members of the appointed by the Senate Majority and Minority Leaders, members appointed by the House Speaker and House Minority Leader, and members appointed by the Governor. I hope that many of you have seen a copy of their report. I will tell you that the membership on this commission was an impressive one. There were four former commissioners of finance. It was co-chaired by former representative, former commissioner Kevin Goodnow, and former commissioner of finance Jay Kudrowski. The members worked over the approximately year and a half period doing a significant amount of work. And I would just add a parenthetical comment for members. This is a commission with some very impressive folks. It was staffed by people from the commissioner of finance, or from the finance department. It was also followed by both our chief fiscal analyst as well as the chief fiscal analyst for the House, as well as other members of our fiscal staffs. And I would point out that there was not a single dollar appropriated for the commission's work. They did it with existing staff. We never had an appropriation for this commission. So often when we see these requests for $250,000, $500,000 for various studies, I will always remind members that this commission did some very comprehensive, some very excellent work without spending a single additional dollar. The bill itself has several provisions that incorporate these recommendations. And again, I'll point out, there's nothing in Senate File 1481 that I view as political. This was a direct implementation of this very bipartisan, almost tripartisan commission. So Section 1 does have the inclusion of inflation in the expenditure estimates. Again, that's a recommendation from the commission. That's not something that I've stuck into this bill. There's something that I consider very important. I actually talked about this briefly in the presentation of my bill yesterday, and that is to have the state demographer forecast an analysis of the projected demographic changes for a 10 and 20-year period. Obviously, we have the budget forecast twice a year. We've never really paid close attention to a demographic analysis, so I think that's a very important part of the bill. It provides a two-week time limit for in promulgation of the budget forecast to have the inclusion within the proposed budget of the need to change whatever we have to change relative to the budget forecast. It provides for a structurally balanced budget, not dissimilar, actually the same as what we did a couple months ago with the legislation that we passed off the floor of the Senate. But again, that was part of the recommendations of this commission. It provides for additional revenues to the budget forecast. So you have the budget reserve. You have the budget reserve set at 2% of general fund expenditures. You then provide a budget reserve up to 5% of the general fund expenditures, but that's done at the end of the biennium. So if the legislature feels that we need some additional monies for whatever the priorities are, K-12, health and human services, whatever they might be, that you then work to that 5% figure around that. And we then provide a report on the budget reserve percentage back to the Commissioner of Finance, asking him to periodically review that formula as it's been developed by the study commission. And then we also ask that a report be made back to the legislature on the cash flow account balance by the Commissioner of Finance. Those are a brief description of elements of the bill. Again, I'll emphasize with members that what I've done with this bill is simply incorporated the entirety of what the Budget Trends Commission has put together, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Is there discussion on Senate File 1481? Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would Senator Cohen yield?
He will yield.
Senator Cohen, in the early portions of the bill, and I won't scroll up, but it's mentioned the term and lead minority member. And then I go down to lines 424, 425, 5-6, and 5-7, where it talks about various reports going to various people. And, Mr. Chair, I don't know if I could do this orally, but I would ask Senator Cohen, in those instances, on those lines, would he accept an oral amendment to include and lead minority member, such that these reports could also go to the minority side?
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, that would be appropriate. As to how the chair wants to handle it, if the chair wants to do it as an oral amendment, obviously, I'll accept whatever the amendment is.
We have another amendment at the desk, I believe, and if perhaps you could have it drafted quickly and we could still deal with it. So further discussion. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have the A1 amendment.
The Secretary will report the A1 amendment.
Senator Gerlach moves to amend Senate File 1481 as follows, page 1, lines 14, 17, and 18. This is the A1 amendment.
Senator Gerlach, on your A1 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this just is a very, very simple amendment. We're adding inflation into the forecasting here, and on page 1, line 14, I'm sorry, I was just handed a hard copy of the bill. I just wanted to double check and make sure this is done correctly. We go on. It's under section 1. It says the projections to occur as a result of inflation or other variables. I think it's important to understand that the things are not entirely and always inflationary, that they could be deflationary. So I would like to, or this amendment just simply adds the word or deflation after inflation. And Senator Cohen, maybe you could comment on that and tell me what your thoughts are on that.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gerlach talked to me just a minute ago about this. And I've been trying to think through it. Rarely have we been in a period of deflation. I think that's kind of a once-in-a-century type of occurrence, although we've had a number of once-in-a-century types of occurrences in the last several years. I'm kind of grappling for words here because I'm just trying to think through this. Is deflation, and I'm not sure if Senator Gerlach has talked to other folks about this. I think on the surface, it makes sense. I guess, Senator Gerlach, would you mind maybe laying the, I don't know if there are other amendments at the desk. We do have Senator Senjum's amendment that hopefully is being prepared. Would you mind laying this over for just a minute so I could, Mr. Mossman is coming up to the floor. I just want to consult with him for a second. Would that be okay?
Mr. Chairman, that would be fine. I'll whatever motion is required, I'll move to set this amendment aside for a while until we can
Senator
talk.
Gerlach, just if you just withdraw it, you can reoffer it again at the right time.
Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw the A1 amendment at this time then.
Okay. Is there further discussion on the bill? Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to dash into this because I've asked Senator Gerlach to withdraw his amendment, and Senator Senjum is having an amendment prepared. Do we have other bills on general orders today?
Senator Cohen, we do not.
Well, if we do have another
question.
Mr. Chair, Senator Senjum, Senator Cohen, I think that what Senator Senjum wishes to do can be handled quite easily, you know, with an oral amendment. We've made this change, you know, to many bills to add the ranking minority member. If the front desk thinks it can just do this by an oral amendment.
Senator Betzel, we do have another senator who's requested to speak, and the amendment is on its way.
Thank you.
So, Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to talk about a couple of the provisions in the bill that I'm concerned about. I'd like to speak for just a moment about Section 5 on page 2. It's Article 1, Section 5, page 2. Requiring that the budget submitted by the governor must include recommendations for eliminating shortfalls for the following biennium. And in addition, actually requiring us to raise the amount of reserve, and the timing of this couldn't be worse, it seems to me, members, that we should be allowing the governor to resolve this biennial deficit without necessarily having to resolve a projected deficit 4 years out. In our Minnesota families and businesses, they're making these decisions on a short-term basis. I think 2 years is sufficient. If we create a requirement to balance our budget in 4 years, we create a false set of circumstances and goals that we don't need to make. We're making it harder on ourselves rather than balancing this biennial budget and going home. And I think that's what Minnesotans expect us to do, to balance this biennial budget and go home. And so for that, Mr. Chair and members, I'll oppose the bill.
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to reoffer the A1 amendment.
The secretary report the amendment.
Senator Gerlach moves to amend Senate File 1481 as follows, page 1, lines 14, 17, and 18. This is the A1 amendment.
Senator Gerlach, on your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the amendment that I just withdrawn. We've had a chance to talk about it, and we're just going to be accounting for the possibility of a deflationary economy as long as we have inflation in there as well. And Senator Cohen maybe wants to speak to this.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gerlach was very courteous in allowing me to talk to Mr. Mossman for a minute. We talked about it for a minute. We think that this amendment would not cause difficulty for us.
Okay. Further discussion on the A1 amendment. There being no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote on the A1 amendment. All in favor of adopting the A1 amendment, indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I have the A50 amendment.
The Secretary will report the A50 amendment.
Senator Senjum moves to amend Senate File 1481 as follows, page 4, line 24. This is amendment A50.
Senator Senjum, on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A4 amendment is simply to include within the reporting structure of this bill a report going to the ranking minority member in addition to the chair. And, Mr. Chair, I'm wondering as I look at this, because the amendment is, at least as it's here on the sheet, does not include a provision on page 4, line 25, where this same circumstance, I think, exists. And it's hard to scroll down on the computer. Is it, does it? I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I was wrong there. The amendment looks adequate, so I would urge adoption of the amendment.
Is there a discussion on the A50 amendment? There being no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of adopting the A50 amendment indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment's adopted. Is there further discussion on Senate File 1481? Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have been through a bill like this as long as I have been here, and that's been 6 or 7 years. This is the so-called autopilot bill, and putting, if you will, government on autopilot, don't think it's necessarily a good idea, and certainly would urge a no vote on this bill.
Is there further discussion?
And Mr. Chair, I would ask for a roll call.
Are there three hands for a roll call? There being three hands, there will be a roll call. Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to again indicate this bill is absolutely not a partisan bill. This is a bill that incorporates the recommendations of the Budget Trends Commission, which was a totally bipartisan commission. And I mentioned it had people from administrations of a Democrat, a couple of Republicans, an independent governor. It had appointees by the majority, the minority, by the governor. This is a commission that worked in a very nonpartisan, not a bipartisan fashion. This is a commission that worked in a very nonpartisan fashion, and this bill only incorporates the recommendations of the commission. It in no way has, I mean, obviously I'm the author of the bill, so I could have had the bill drafted in whatever way I wanted to. I drafted it in accordance with the recommendations of this commission. So I'm surprised that Senator Senjum would want to make this a partisan fight, because that's not how the commission operated, and that's not how I drafted the bill.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President, or Mr. Chair. We heard the commission's report in the Tax Committee as well, and I'm wondering if Senator Cohen recalls when they completed their report.
Senator Cohen, did you hear Senator Ortman's question?
The report was presented to the legislature on January 12th.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, that's my point. The report was prepared before our current recessionary status, before we recognized in our February forecast that we have this huge deficit. And so while the recommendations were made on a nonpartisan basis and the commission did a fabulous job of making long-term structural recommendations for the way we manage our budget, I don't think that they apply in these circumstances, and that's why it seems partisan. Because to put these extra burdens on the governor and on ourselves at this time to balance 4 years out creates a false premise. It creates more of a job than we really need to have. We should deal with the task at hand, which is to balance our budget for this biennium and deal with what happens in the near future. We hope that the economy is going to recover. But to force ourselves to answer questions that are really difficult to answer right now is unnecessary. It creates more work than we need. We should do our work, balance this budget, and go home. And we should help the governor to do that now instead of creating more obstacles.
Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Ortman, three things. First of all, you suggested, no, we shouldn't do long-term things. We should only do short-term things. That doesn't seem to be a very good way to run government. Second, the deficit was reported the end of November. And the difference between the November forecast and the February forecast, as you might recall, was nothing, because what was brought into the February forecast was the FMAP monies from the federal government. So the forecast, as promulgated by the Department of Finance in February, showed roughly the same amount of deficit. But whether the deficit was a larger deficit or a smaller deficit in February, we knew we had a huge deficit, and this commission knew there was a huge deficit when they presented their report. Three, the provision you're discussing was already voted on by the Senate on a very large bipartisan vote. I'm not sure what the vote was, but I want to say it was in the 50s when the bill passed off the Senate floor 2 months ago, which was the provision you're objecting to. So most members of the Senate, maybe not you, Senator Ortman, but most members of the Senate have already voted for that provision.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair and Senator Cohen, indeed I did vote no on that provision. And just because a bill was passed a couple of months ago by the Senate doesn't necessarily make it a good idea today. We're having a hard time resolving the differences between the House and the Senate and the governor in order to resolve our budget deficit. Here we are, it's May 6th. We've got a couple weeks left, and we're making no progress. And one of the reasons that we are making no progress or little progress is the insistence that we try and balance our budget 4 years out. People at home, in their family budgets, and with their business budgets, are trying to find whatever resources they have to balance this year's budget, not 4 years out. And so we should not impose that on ourselves. We shouldn't impose it on our governor. We should balance this biennial budget and go home.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to the question about making this bill partisan, certainly it's not that. Some people have a philosophical belief that you shouldn't include inflation within your forecast. There's frankly nothing wrong with that. It's a view, certainly not a partisan view. But I think we shouldn't assume that we just put government on automatic pilot. Certainly legislatively, we will recognize inflation. I would suggest we just don't need to do it in the forecast.
Is there further discussion? There being no further discussion, Senator Cohen has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1481 be recommended to pass. All in favor of that motion signify by... roll call. The secretary will take the roll. All senators voting who desire to vote. All senators voting who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 45 ayes, 18 nays, the motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. And the bill is recommended to pass. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee do now rise and report.
On Senator Pogemiller's motion, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the Committee of the Whole, as kept by the Secretary, be now adopted.
On Senator Pogemiller's motion, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
I have Senator Vandiver, just hold just a second. Pursuant to Rule 12, Senator Stump has moved that the following members be excused for a conference committee on House File Number 2 at 12:10 p.m. until 12:30 p.m. Senators are Senator Stump, Olson, Jen Olson, Senator Solzman, Wieger, and Dahl. All in favor of that motion, they keep saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Vandiver.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Resolution Number 42 be withdrawn from the Committee on Rules, given a second reading and placed on general orders.
Sharon, did you get excused?
We were late.
Senator Vandiver, have you talked with Mitchie?
What do we need?
Senator Vandiver has moved to withdraw Senate Resolution Number 42 be withdrawn from the Committee on Rules and Administration. Senator Vandiver, would you give the Senate some explanation of your motion?
This is my resolution, members. It's the resolution pertains to office space in the state capitol and requires that it be allocated based on the percentage of Senate membership held by each party instead of, as it's currently being used, with 100% of it by the majority party. So this resolution would just make it divided on the percentage of members that each party has, each caucus has.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I tried to pull this up on the computer, but what comes up is a Senate resolution honoring a Fairmont school board member for 26 years of service.
Senator Vandiver.
Mr. President, Senator Higgins, that is a wrong link on the computer. We have the hard copy that's currently in the Rules Committee, and we could have that duplicated and hand it out to members if they'd like. But this is 42. This is the Senate, the Resolution 42 that is currently in Rules.
President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, Senator, have you had a trouble getting a hearing on this in the committee?
Senator Vandiver.
Pardon me, I didn't hear the question.
Senator Polga Miller, would
Senator
you
Senator Vanderveer, have you had trouble getting a hearing on this in the committee?
Well, Mr. President, Mr. Majority Leader, I requested a hearing from the committee, and there is only about 12 days left of session, so it appears that we had better move on it now if we're going to do it.
A point of information, the correct resolution is on the Senate system under the correct number. Senator Polga Miller.
Mr. President, Senator Vanderveer, as you know, I chair that committee, and I'm absolutely willing to hear the committee. I wasn't aware that you were interested in a hearing on it, but if you are, we can hear it this session.
Senator Vanderveer.
Mr. President, Mr. Majority Leader, would that be that hearing be this year?
Senator Polga Miller.
Certainly.
Mr. President, I will withdraw the motion.
The Senator Vanderveer withdraws his motion.
Mr. President.
Senator Pappas.
I just sent up a note for members of my conference committee to be excused.
And from what, Senator Pappas, from what times?
From 12 to 12:25.
Senator Pappas has moved that pursuant to Senate rules, the following senators be excused from session from 12 to 12:25 for conference committee: Senator Pappas, Lynch, Erickson Ropes, Latz, and Roebling. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails. We have any more? Senator Polga Miller.
Mr. President, members, the plan is there'll be a majority caucus research immediately upon adjournment. Either adjournment or recess. I'm trying to figure out if the Rules Committee work needs to come back to the floor tonight. I don't know that answer yet. Rules Committee will meet in a half hour in room 125. The Rules Committee, half hour, room 125. Majority caucus will meet in the retiring room as soon as we finish right now.
Without exception, the following senators will be excused for various times for today's session. Senator Hahn all day, Senator Rest from 12 to 12:30, Senator Bach from 12 to 12:50, Senator Murphy from 12:30 to 12:50, Senator Rest from 1:20 to the end, and Senator Stump from 1:20 to the end. Senator Betzold.
Mr. President, under announcements of Senate interest, the State Government Budget Conference Committee on Senate File 2082, as was announced by the chair, it would be scheduled 1/2 hour after the other body meets or adjourns. Of course, they also indicate they may be in recess at parts today, too. So people who have had an interest in the state government budget bill, just stay tuned. But the initial announcement was 1/2 hour after the last body adjourns for the day.
Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Conference Committee on the Omnibus Tax Bill will meet 1/2 hour after the House Tax Committee adjourns. The House Tax Committee is going to meet today after their body either recesses or adjourns for the day. So we will post a time once we know when the House Tax Committee adjourns for the Conference Committee, and it will be approximately 30 minutes after the House Tax Committee adjourns.
Senator Sanjam.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the Majority Leader yield?
He will yield.
Senator Polga Miller, can you give us an idea about tomorrow and what time and what we might have up?
Senator Pogemiller.
First, the Rules Committee will meet in a half hour, so that'll be at 2 o'clock in room 237. I had that wrong, room 237. We will recess today to take the Rules Committee report, so we only need a skeleton crew after we recess now. The Majority Caucus will meet at immediately after we recess in the retiring room. And tomorrow there's not much floor work at all. We may take a few conference committee reports if there are some, but we want to free that up for conference committees because we have a midnight deadline tomorrow night on the conference committees, so on the major conference committees. So tomorrow there won't be much floor action. There may be a few conference committee reports.
Senator Sanjam.
Mr. President, Senator Pogemiller will be, sounds like we're going to meet. Do you have it, or possibly not meet at all tomorrow?
No, we'll meet at noon tomorrow.
Okay. Do you have a time?
Noon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Noon tomorrow. Okay.
Senator Sparks.
Mr. President, members, I know this is a very busy time of year, but if your schedule allows, we are having the annual I-90 Coalition event this evening. And so the I-90 Coalition is members of both the House and the Senate, Democrats and Republicans that represent districts along Interstate 90, all the way from Wisconsin, South Dakota. So if you have time, stop on by and we'll show you some Southern hospitality.
Without exception, Senator Torres Ray will be excused from today's session from 12:30 to 1:15. Senator Pogemiller. Senator Cohen.
Mr. President, just a reminder to Finance Committee folks, we'll meet tomorrow at 8:30. I'm not sure. We're probably in room 318. My intent is to finish our agenda. We'll go to midnight, 1 in the morning or so, unless people get there on time and start working early.
Further announcements of Senate interest. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, then I'd move to recess to the call of the chair. And today that will just be for the purposes of accepting the Rules Committee report, and so just a skeleton crew.
Senator Pogemiller has moved to recess to the call of the chair. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The Senate is in recess.
Mr. President.
Senate will come to order.
Mr. President, I believe there's committee report at the desk.
There are committee reports at the desk.
Senator Bach from the Committee on Taxes, to which was re-referred Senate File 2078, Bill for an Act Relating to Economic Development, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended, and when so amended, the bill do pass. And Senator Bach from the Committee on Taxes, to which is referred Senate File 681, a bill for an act relating to taxation, making policy, technical, administrative, and clarifying changes, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended, and when so amended, the bill do pass. And Senator Bach from the Committee on Taxes, to which was re-referred Senate File 1257, a bill for an act relating to public finance, providing terms and conditions relating to issuance of obligations and financing of public improvements, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended, and when so amended, the bill do pass. Senator Pogemiller from the Committee on Rules and Administration, to which was re-referred Senate File 1708, a resolution memorializing the members of the Minnesota Congressional Delegation to sponsor and support the Main Street Fairness Act, reports the same back with the recommendation that the resolution do pass. Senator Pogemiller from the Committee on Rules and Administration, to which was re-referred Senate File 986, a bill for an act relating to health and human services, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill do pass. Senator Pogemiller from the Committee on Rules and Administration, to which was re-referred Senate File 1778, a resolution memorializing the Congress of the United States to oppose enactment of legislation of the substance and tenor, etc., reports the same back with the recommendation that the resolution be amended, and when so amended, the resolution do pass. Senator Pogemiller from the Committee on Rules and Administration, to which was re-referred Senate File 358, a resolution memorializing the Congress of the United States not to reauthorize the No Child Left Behind Act in its current form, reports the same back with the recommendation that the resolution do pass. And Senator Pogemiller from the Committee on Rules and Administration, to which was re-referred House File 928, a bill for an act relating to transportation, including pedestrian and bicycle components and bridge improvement program, et cetera, reports the same back with the recommendation that the bill be amended, and when so amended, the bill do pass.
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports just read by the Secretary be now adopted.
All in favor, say aye. Opposed, nay. They're adopted. Second reading of the Senate bills.
Senate file numbers 2078, 681, 1257, 1708, 986, 1778, and 358.
Second reading.
And second reading of House file number 928.
Second reading.
Mr. President, any other work at the desk?
Senator Pogamiller, there's we've got some we've got Senator Anderson to be excused from 12 to 12:45. That would be all.
Then, Mr. President, I would move that the Senate adjourn till Thursday, May 7th. May 7th, Mr. President. Add 10 to that and May 7th, 12 noon.
That's standing adjournment. I'm sorry. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senate stands in adjournment till May 7th.